This is the Alan Autry Show, and you're on the new 940 Coyote.
And welcome back to the show, and it is really a pleasure to welcome our next guest, Ahmed Intizam, researcher and lecturer and frequent speaker here at the Islamic Cultural Center. Welcome, Ahmed.
Good morning, Alan. How are you?
It's great. It's been a while. How you been?
I'm just doing fine. I have a 1-year-old daughter now.
Oh, congratulations.
Oh, thank you very much. She just turned one.
Now, does that curtail your travel a little bit? I bet it does, huh? You speak it as much as you normally do?
It sure does, but I'm happy about it, though.
Oh, absolutely. There's nothing better than looking those little eyes looking up at you, right?
Yeah, that's true.
Oh, man. Well, you know, I mean, obviously, folks that don't know, I heard Ahmed speak one time at the Islamic Cultural Center, and just blew me away. He was, this man is for real about bringing everyone together and respect for other religions. And he's even put himself in physical peril, he and his family, by some of the positions that he's taken in pursuit of that commitment to bring people together. And I was just so happy that he was able to be on the show today. And I appreciate that, Ahmed, you making time with being the new daddy and all.
Well, thank you very much. I'm happy to be on your show.
Well, let me. The mosque situation has thrown Islam into the spotlight in America like never before. Mm-hmm. I think after 9/11, there was, the hijackers. You know, when you trace it back, were embraced a form of radical Islam, and the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan certainly keeps it in the news. But the mosque really thrust it into, dinner table dialogue of what is this religion called Islam? What are the biggest myths, Ahmed, that you've heard regarding Muslims and the Muslim faith?
Well, if you go on the internet, check bloggers, websites, and also listen to talk shows on the radio or watch TV, you will pretty much see that Islam is being depicted as a single monolithic form of faith. It is a religion that is inherently violent and extreme, and its followers, Muslims, are basically incapable of being moderate or even modern. Well, in my opinion, that depiction is distorted because it generalizes 1.3 billion Muslims into one monolith. The Islamic community around the world is as diverse as any religious community, such as Christians. What you will find in the Muslim community is that some are definitely radical. They are backward, intolerant, violent, and they're willing and ready to use violence to get their point across. So, but that's one part of this large community, and in my opinion, it's a very small minority. On the other side, you will find that there are Muslims, the large majority of them are against violence. They are very moderate in their political views. They are tolerant of other people's faiths, and I'm basically one of them. And it is my reading that, by and large, the Muslim community in the U.S. is very tolerant, it's very open-minded, and it is willing to live in peace and harmony with the rest of the population.
Could you, Ahmed, explain to us, we hear the term Sharia law.
Yes.
Explain to us fundamentally what is Sharia law and why do so many people find it so difficult to mix Sharia law with the laws that govern our land here in America, the Constitution?
Well, the Sharia basically is the Islamic penal code, as well as the Islamic codes of conduct concerning prayers. So the whole thing is under the banner of Sharia. It is a very controversial subject area within the Islamic theological tradition. It is controversial because First of all, there are very few edicts in the Holy Quran, the Muslim holy book, that deal with the penal code. Much of what you find in under the Sharia banner is nothing but the creative work of jurists throughout history. And in my opinion, Muslims should only view the literal word of God as sacred, and the word of theologians and jurists are interesting to ponder, to discuss, to consider, but they are not sacred. So, in a nutshell, the Sharia, part of it has to do with the penal code, and part of it has to do with the rules and regulations concerning prayer. It is very controversial within the Islamic community as well.
Hamid, is honor killings, where a husband has the right to kill his wife or his children under certain conditions, is that allowed under your interpretation of Sharia law?
Actually, it is not allowed under any interpretation of Sharia law. It absolutely has no basis in Islamic jurisprudential tradition. It has no basis in the Quran. It is purely a cultural matter. You will find that awful practice in some countries such as Pakistan, for example, but it has absolutely no basis in the Quran or even in Sharia.
Well, we had this guy here that was in America who was trying to be a so-called, by his determination, a moderate, who wound up killing his children via an honor killing, he called it, here in America.
That's awful.
So that guy, in your estimation, how many of the 3.3 billion Muslims do you feel share your feeling about honor killings, Hamid? Just your estimate. I know it's a tough question. I mean, is it pervasive that most Muslims, not only here in America but around the world, would detest honor killings as you do?
I would say yes. On this particular issue, if you go around the world, you will find that the majority of Muslims detest and are horrified by this practice because, like I said, it has absolutely no basis in the Quran or the Islamic jurisprudential tradition.
Okay, how about stonings and lashes for...
Good point. Actually, stoning is not a practice sanctioned by the Quran, which is the main source of ideas and rulings in Islam. And I gather you're referring to the punishment for adultery, correct?
Well, I'm referring to the recent one in Iran where there was the controversy internally.
Yes.
On the woman who was, multiple times, I believe, convicted of adultery. That
yes.
was going to get stoned.
Muhammadiyah, that's her name.
Yes, was going to be stoned to death, but then during the process, I guess it was relegated to lashes. But internally, there, if you're even going to consider it, it seems in a country like that, it seems like Hamid, people would say, and I think you'd understand why people would go, well, wait a minute, if they're considering stoning this woman to death, it must be pervasive within the country and the government, and not just a few radicals.
Yes. No, it has, I think this particular issue of the stoning goes beyond politics. It's a judicial issue, and it falls within, the jurisprudential wing of Islam. Stoning, if you read the Quran cover to cover, you will not find stoning as an Islamically sanctioned punishment for adultery. It is part of the Jewish tradition, but not Islamic. And I think it was through Judaism that it found its way into the Islamic community. It's a bone of contention in the Islamic world, and there are many jurists, even many clergymen in Iran today, that are opposed to this practice, and they point to the Quran saying that you cannot find this practice as a punishment in the Quran. So Even in Iran today, within the Islamic system in Iran, there is a lot of disagreements over this practice.
Okay. Ahmed, we're going to take a quick break. I know we just have a few more minutes left with you when we come back. I want to be really respectful of your time.
Thank you.
Not only professionally, but with your child. But we're going to talk about the mosque when we get back. And Iman Faisal Abdul Rauf's decision to go ahead with the building of the mosque, two blocks from the 9/11 site, and get your take on this when we come right back.
Now, back to Alan Autry on the new 940 Kino.
Okay, welcome back to the show. You want to hear me sing? We want to hear Hamid. Intisam here is our guest, frequent researcher and lecturer, and speaks frequently at the Islamic Cultural Center here in Fresno, and that's where I had the pleasure to see him probably about 5 years ago, and just wowed me. Hamid, Imam Faisal Abdul Rauf, what do you think of him?
Well, to be honest with you, I don't know much about him, and interestingly enough, I didn't know much about this project, building of the community center in Lower Manhattan, up until a couple of months ago when this thing became front page news.
Yeah. Well, I've said on this show, I mean, I'm trying to figure him out. I'm not going to condemn this individual's motives until I know more. What's disconcerting to me is some things just, in my mind, I think many Americans say, just don't add up and don't make sense. Now, he was appointed by President Bush. I'm a conservative Republican, and that speaks, I would automatically, just based on that, think good things. He seems to talk a good, sincere, I don't want to say game because it makes it sound like it's not. He seems to be a sincere person in believing he can build bridges. Okay, he says, I'm a bridge builder.
Right.
So in trying to figure him out, Hamid, I was watching the Soledad O'Brien interview, and he drew his mission in trying to bring the Islamic world and American culture together to marriage counseling. He says, you know, when I guess he does some marriage counseling, and he says some things that the husband doesn't like to hear, some things that the wife doesn't like to hear, but it's the truth to help them understand each other and bring them together in a marriage, building bridges. But my question is to you is this. Is it possible to build a bridge? Because bridge means, you know, you connect, not tolerance. Tolerance means you can basically tolerate something you're really not connecting with. You know, something you may not agree with. But if you're going to build a bridge, that means to connect, not just tolerate. Well, can you really build a bridge between law and lawlessness? Let me put it this way in a marriage analogy. Can liberty ever marry tyranny? I mean, will democracy ever can marry totalitarianism? Can respect for women ever marry honor killings? Where can you bridge those two things that are just polar opposite in terms of values and principles when you're talking about radical terrorist mutation of Islam?
Well, I agree with you. You cannot build a bridge between democracy and totalitarianism, backwardness and modernity. You cannot. The question, I guess, with respect to the Manhattan Community Center, I think at this stage of the game, it is past the idea of a single individual. It has become an international issue, and in my opinion, it has become a barometer for the world to assess how America treats its Muslim population. I think that's what it has inadvertently become. And that's what we really need to focus on and address at this point of the game, in my opinion. But you're right that there is definitely a segment of the Islamic community, most notably in Pakistan, Afghanistan, and even within the Islamic establishment in Iran, that they are terrorist-minded, that they are backward in their thinking. But again, we should not generalize. I mean, that's not the entire Islamic community around the world. That's not what the Islamic community necessarily stands for.
Don't you think, though, that many Americans, I mean, are kind of getting tired of hearing the president say, and quite honestly, Iman Arouf say, we're not at war with Islam. Now, I'm not the brightest chrome on a bumper. I know we're not at war with Islam. We know who attacked us on 9/11 and who continues to be at war with us. It's a radical perversion of Islam, of which the estimates are about 300 million of those folks are out there. And when you say we don't want the mosque there, asking this imam to really respect the feelings and the heartbreak of the families of the victims of 9/11, entire country, they have a right to build there. Nobody's saying you can't build there. You're asking him, please don't build there. And when he says, well, I can't now because I'm going to inflame the anger of the Islamic world if we do this. Well, it just seems contradictory. I mean, people are going, you know what? So it's the Constitution, Imam, that inflamed these radicals. The moment we signed a document in this country that gave free speech, which they're against, to their people, we signed a death warrant. As soon as we allowed women the right to vote, we signed a death warrant. We know that they don't embrace what we believe in. And if you build a mosque, they're not going to hate us any, or we don't build, you don't build the mosque, they're not going to hate us any more or any less.
Well, I guess, Alan, this whole issue of the community center in Lower Manhattan has turned into muddied water, in my opinion. A lot of things are being injected into this debate that should not be there to begin with. It is, in my opinion, it is really a matter for the local authorities and people in New York to decide. As I said, I didn't even know anything about it until recently.
Well, I wish he would have consulted with you.
sense that they have a constitutional right to build the center there, but is it wise or not? I guess that's what the whole issue is about. Is it wise to build a community center so close to ground zero where Americans, some Americans have a hard feeling against that? So I'm glad I don't have to make that decision, to be honest with you. But right now what I'm afraid of is that this whole issue is turning to a nightmare for even our foreign policymakers.
I agree with you on that regard. But part of me wants to get behind this guy if I was convinced that he was totally sincere. And it will take something dramatic. He took a small step yesterday when he day before yesterday, when he had a press conference saying, let's make this issue a platform for moderation. Basically giving a clarion call to people like yourself to step up and say, hey, we're going to really actively, clearly condemn terrorists. Something that many Americans believe hasn't happened enough from moderate leaders of this in the Islamic world. But I think it's going to take something more. I would ask you this. Would you support or do you think he could do something like, now I know it sounds crazy, but if you want to build a mosque next to 9/11 where all those folks died, how about presenting a proposal to Iran to build a free will Baptist church a few blocks from the Ayatollah Khomeini's tomb? I mean, that would be a bridge from that church over there, a couple of blocks from where one of those revered folks died and where he's buried, and to the site where still they will be buried forever. They won't find the remains of all those folks there at the site of 9/11. That mosque, and bring people together. Now, that's a bridge. What are the chances of that happening? That would really prove to me that he's really willing to build a true bridge between the Islamic world and the American and America.
Well, let me make a couple of points here. First of all, we need to be clear that what they're proposing to build in Lower Manhattan is not really a mosque, because mosque is a sacred place where only worship can be conducted. This is the community center that is supposed to be open to the public. It will have a fitness center, a school, a restaurant, but yes, it will also have some space for prayers. Okay. That's number one. But secondly, Alan, we need to also understand that we should not conduct our internal affairs based on the Iranian constitution, the Iranian government's way of doing business, or the Saudi Arabian way of doing political business. This is America, and yes, you're right. There is discrimination against the minorities, discrimination against other faiths in Iran, in Saudi Arabia, in Afghanistan, in Pakistan, and I admit that, and I'm against that. And I think any morally upright Muslim should be against that. This is America. My family immigrated to the U.S. some 30 years ago, before the Iranian Revolution, for a good reason, because they wanted to raise their kids with the values enshrined in the American Constitution. My father did it deliberately. So I don't want to live under the tyranny of the Ahmadinejad government or the tyranny of Taliban or the Saudi Arabian system of injustice.
Yeah, I hear you, Hamid. And you may, but I just don't get what this imam is trying to accomplish here. For us to have tolerance and understanding for what we are, I think most Americans understand, tolerate, in many cases embrace Islam and its peaceful aspects, but it seems like he's trying to mix the two, that if we build a mosque, we'll show these radicals that they are somehow wrong, and they will stop cutting off the noses of their daughters if they backtalk. They'll stop stoning women to death or having that discussion. I don't understand why we're the focus for understanding. See, I know my Bible says, seek to understand before you seek to be understood, and I embrace that. But where is the same clarion call to introspection to people in Iran, in Syria, in Saudi Arabia, by saying you have to be more tolerant? Did I lose Hamid? I think something went haywire.
It appears that we have lost connection. And
we will try. Well, we were almost right out. Hamid, my apologies if it was our end. It may have been Hamid's end. But he's a stand-up guy. I tell you, he's. I know why some of the folks, don't contact him and let him know what's going on in the Islamic world, because he says it like he believes it. And he'll take a stand. And I wish he was front and center in this discussion on a national level. Hopefully he will be. We're going to take a quick break. Sorry if you're listening that we had a bad connection there, but thank you for being on the show. Appreciate it. Come back. We're going to have our illustrious mayor, Mayor Ashley Swearingen, is going to be with us talking about a familiar subject, the Fulton Mall.